those games seem like they have maybe a little too much money riding on it to cancel, but maybe
there's,
I'm wrong.
There's the hope. They already put rules in place and all that in case, you know, it happens, because Georgia apparently is having some problems.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
Because Michigan said they're all vaccinated, they're all boosted up, all that, like the whole team is. So,
gotcha.
That's pretty crazy to get all those people on board, but I guess they didn't. They're serious. So.
Yeah, that's been pretty interesting. I mean, Kent made it to the Idaho Potato Bowl just fine. Unfortunately, yeah. That did not go well, but...
You know, and then it was like, they got there, all these, like, lower bowl games, like, no one gives a rat's ass. Like, don't even know what happened. And all of a sudden, like, well, now the ones you care about, no, we can't do it.
Well, there's that, and like all the important bowl games, the problem is now is just like, peace out. I like my money more than winning a bowl game, and 100%, I don't blame the players.
I mean, they have to make, you know, they keep talking about the college football playoff having to be expanded. They have to do that. I don't think it can be 8 teams anymore. I think it has to be 16. Because if they want to prevent kids, now right or wrong, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
If they want to prevent kids from leaving so that these bowl games actually matter, that's the only way you can do it. You got to get a guy from, I don't know, I'm not sure who left. I saw like Olave from Ohio State and somebody else left. And they left the Rose Bowl. They didn't leave like the Gardenia Placenta Bowl. I almost said placenta bowl. what a fucking sponsor in that.
I'm trying to remember of, was it Tampax or something? I'm trying to remember the basketball reference.
I think it was Tampax, yeah.
Yeah. They might sponsor that.
Which, I swear there was a bowl game that was like that it had something almost like basketballish in it. Well, I guess it's not on the scale of 700 products, but when they have like Louisville's football team plays at the Little Caesars State Stadium.
Papa John's.
Is it Papa John's? Yes. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's a company that I'm like, I remember getting to Kent and going, man, I love this stuff. And now I'm like, I would not eat that dog shit pizza.
Dude, do you remember it was $5? And we could just eat the shit out of that stuff. Like, $5 back then was pretty cheap. And even it was like cheap expensive. So we used to eat that shit all the time.
I didn't remember theirs being $5. What did I get? It was down on Water Street there, down in the corner. What was that pizza place down there? Because they did $5 Fridays or something like that, where you could get a large for $5.
Oh, wow, John Madden died.
Oh.
They just showed that whole thing about him. Came across the ticker on the bottom. Wow.
Oh.
That's sad. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I guess, well, I mean, he had to have been pretty old, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, 85.
Oh. You know. Okay, I mean.
But anyways, sorry. I just saw the timing was weird. Because they just had that whole Madden documentary on Christmas Day.
Yeah, and I guess when they were doing that, I'm like, where's Madden? Like, you know, just because he hasn't really popped up much in between, I was a little bit surprised that he wasn't around to at least, you know, like, throw it to him in his house or something like that.
No, he retired, said peace.
Yeah.
I've done enough. Good for him. Because I also thought he'd passed away before that special came up. I'm like, oh, okay. It sounds kind of mean now, isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he was sitting on stacks of cash. So there was no reason to go back to announcing.
Yeah, I wonder how much he gets just for having his name on the video game.
Plenty?
Old Madden, I don't know. Unless it's like an NFL thing. They just have the name. I don't know. But what the hell were we even talking about? Oh, the bowl games.
Yeah, the bowl games and possibly getting canceled.
Yeah, but no, like, so I saw Olave and somebody else from Ohio State, which is not a surprise. I mean,
oh, but, no.
So like, the Rose Bowl, that's a big deal. I mean, I know you're not really playing for anything, but the Rose Bowl is not, again, what am I watching now? The AutoZone Liberty Bowl, you know?
Yeah, funny thing is the AutoZone Liberty Bowl is one of those ones where I'm going, that's been around at least 15 years at this point. Like, it's kind of one of the older ones.
Yes, yeah. Still play on a different tangent. There are bowl games where I'm like, how are they not more popular? The Hawaii Bowl or Hula Bowl or whatever they call it now?
Oh, well, yeah. The Hawaii Bowl got canceled, so.
Yeah. But it's like, how is that not one of the biggest ones? I mean, to go to Hawaii, shouldn't every team be like clamoring to be in that game?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't have to deal with the championship games, yeah, that should be a destination, 100%.
Yeah. And then, what was the other one? Oh, there's the Bahamas Bowl.
Oh.
And it's like Central Michigan and like Eastern Kentucky State. You're like, how are the big schools not fighting over this one? Now, I know there's like probably not that amount of money, but again, you're not going to the Liberty Bowl or the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina. Going to the fucking Bahamas.
Yeah, it would, that sounds very attractive. You go spend time down in the Bahamas. Especially if you're from somewhere up north and it's either snowing or it was fantastically cold and rainy today, which I hate more than snow. Well, actually, I like snow, but cold and rainy just sucks.
Yeah, we're going through a weird spell here. It's 75 today and humid. Like, this sucks. I just make up your mind. This is on Sunday. My head's going to explode, man.
Oh, well, that's already happened for me a couple of times because we've had something similar. In and of the fact that it's like, yeah, 60 one day, 30 the next day, and it's just like, just fucking make up your mind, man. I don't care. Just one way or the other, and just stick with it. It'd be really nice for my sinuses. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. But, yeah, no, these bowl games, like, the college football playoff, they keep going back and forth, him and on. And it's like, you guys, the bowl games don't matter. If the players see greener pastures and are leaving, your bowl games don't matter. And it doesn't matter, like my brother gets really mad. Like, no, you don't abandon your team. You don't leave your team. This and this. It's like, well, you know what? These kids, and I hate saying this because it's really not a huge amount of the cases, I would think. If they come from nothing, like to use like a movie term, nothing, and now they have an opportunity. To make like generational wealth, or you can go play in the fucking Idaho Potato Bowl. No, I think I'm going to take my chances of not playing and making a bunch of guys mad. Like, but even I think the kids even understand by now. You know, like yeah, go get your money, man.
Yeah.
The way to prevent this is to make it worth it.
I don't, yeah, like I said, I don't blame them 1 cent, because it's, yeah, it's better to do it that way.
Team game playoff would bring in bigger ratings than what they do now, which means more money for...
I would assume that they're going to make more money if they enlarge the playoff pool. And plus, I don't know if the TV shows get anything off of this whole arguing about who should be and who shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only quote-unquote upside to not including more people or more teams. Like, get rid of the conference championship games, which basically were invented to try and get people an extra game to get them into the playoffs anyway. Because, how old are most conference championship games? They're not that old. Didn't people just win them outright on who won the most games for
most
of our lives?
Yeah, the SEC was the first one to do it. Yeah, the SEC was the first to do it, and they took a lot of shit for it because they're like, well, if the number one team doesn't win, like in the SEC doesn't win, that's going to cost them like the top bowl game or something. And then that means there's going to be money, and it's going to be like lose prestige for the conference. And they were like, don't worry about it. and it worked. I mean, they were the first. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
everybody has one now.
Yeah, it caught on everywhere. You know, yeah, there's some easy ways to work around it and still have the, you know, 16. Because is it just the 8 teams currently? Or is it only... No, it's still only the 4.
Yeah, it's just 4. Yeah. And that's nuts. I mean, listen, Michigan got in. So great, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean... I'm trying to say, I don't have it in front of me. Like, who was number 5? Was that Oklahoma State?
I would...
No, Notre Dame, right?
One of the two.
Yeah, well, I mean, Notre Dame should be ranked in the top 25 anyways, so it doesn't matter. But even then... Well, cool, yeah. Dude, a team that consistently plays Army, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, National Reserve... Navy again, Toledo. Oh, we play USC and Stanford. No, you don't deserve anything. So,
hey,
whatever.
They have done a pretty decent job of getting the what could be constituted as competition off of the map for the most part. Because did they play Michigan recently or no? Has that been off for a while now?
No. That's been off for a couple years now.
They play Michigan State then, maybe?
They haven't played Michigan State in a while.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like it's been a few years since they played Pitt. Not that Pitt really deserved... Well, that's one that at least with the player thing... Personally, I'm bummed that Kenny Pickett is on the list of people not playing in the bowl game.
Yeah.
But that's one where it's just like... Yeah, like, if you're listed as the number one quarterback in the draft, what's the Peach Bowl going to do for you?
Yeah.
Serious? Like, the only thing really keeping him there is the fact that Pitt finally got the double digits win for the first time since, like, the year of my birth or something stupid. And, that's it. Like, that's the only reason for him to be there. And I don't blame Kenneth Walker, I believe, for Michigan State's running back isn't playing in that game either. Now, that's one, like, running backs, quarterbacks, they have a lot of protection. Running backs, it's the one play that everyone cites the most, and I don't blame them. That Willis McGahee play in the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State and Miami, in the late 90s there, maybe as early 2000s, and he blows out his knee. Like, and it cost him a year in the NFL. Like, why would you want to blow that? You know, like...
Well, at least... Yeah, at least in that example, though, that was a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
So...
That is
that
true.
I get. You know? But if you're playing for... I mean, honestly, nothing. You have to go to a bowl game. Some of them give you a PlayStation. Okay, I mean, with these I should know this, but what's the NIL stand for?
Name, image, likeness.
Yeah, so you're making money off of this stuff now. You can get sponsorships and sort of deals. I don't need to wait till the end of the season to go to the Rose Bowl, get an Xbox, and a copy of Far Cry 6. You know? Like, my NIL is going to give me that. So...
Yes, you know. Someone actually threw out the idea, and I don't know how well it would work, of the Bulls actually signing an NIL deal with some of these guys that are going to leave to incentivize them to stay in the game.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're like, what is it, Miami's quarterback got like $1 million one or something? Something goofy like that. I don't know if that's true or not. I saw a headline. And I was just like, all right, good for him.
Oh, yeah. And headlines are trash, like, 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Cause
but also,
I'm
surprised to you if the quarterback at Alabama got $1 million.
Oh, okay.
Like, not really.
Well, what is it? Oh. The headline's like, oh, Miami thumps... The Miami Dolphins thump whoever they played last night in the on Monday Night Football, and I see the score and it's 20-3, and I'm like, maybe my definition of thump is different than yours. Like, that's a sound win, but I expect a bigger point spread when you tell me thumping. And that's one of those ones where you kind of see the headline, and I always wonder what's behind what the actual article says, because, again, like 99% of the time, like, the headline says one thing to try and get you in, and then you're like, oh, well, fuck. Never mind. Whatever.
Yeah.
Because, with wrestling today, I was like, Shawn Michaels talks about Triple H's, heart procedure or something like that. And then it was just like, oh, he's really bummed about not being at work. Mm-hmm. Fucking really? Like, this is why I just clicked on your goddamn article? Just for you to tell me that Shawn Michaels is telling us that Triple H wants to be back at work? Like, that is the whole sum total of your article. Fuck you, man. That's why it's just like, I see headlines most of the time now, I'm like, whatever, swipe, get out of here. So yeah, I don't know what those guys are making, good for them, because they should be making it, honestly, since the coaches are getting paid some ridiculous fucking amount of money.
Oh, I've had it. There's literally no, there is no winnable argument. Because I've had this conversation before with people about kids getting in a transfer portal and leaving. And they're like, no, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. It makes it too hard on the coaching, you know, coaches to get like a style, like, to get a class together and, you know, recruiting and this. And I went, yeah, isn't it kind of hard for a coach to do that when they're switching schools whenever they want? When they're getting paid $10 million to go coach somewhere else and, like, you know, after you've already told these kids, well, no, I'm going to be there, and this and this. And then as soon as they sign, like, that was that whole, was a national letter of
intent.
Once you sent that in, you were stuck. And then your coach leaves, and you're like, oh, I should be able to leave too. And they said, no. I was like, give a good reason. And there never is one. So it's hard on the coaches. You get paid $10 million a year, I don't care how hard it is on you.
Yeah, I have got no sympathy for you.
Great at your job. So, but yeah, no, I've got no sympathy for anybody in administration, the NCAA, the school, the coaching staff, none of them. I mean, especially when you read these recruiting stories about what they do,
And maybe it's changed now because there's more transparency, but...
Uh-oh.
I mean, just coaches harassing kids, coaches lying to kids, Nick Saban doing his that gray shirt bullshit.
Oh, what's that?
And I'm sure other coaches do, but...
What did he do?
Okay, so I'm not sure. I don't know if this is illegal or not now. Illegal meaning, you know, get caught, it's bad. So he would promise he would over-recruit kids. And I'm probably going to get the details wrong, but this is kind of how it works. Over-recruit kids, and he will say, well, we can't honor your scholarship, but what we can do is basically gray shirt you so that you can come to school, and then if there's a scholarship open the next year, we'll give you that scholarship. But if he recruits somebody better than you, then they don't. And you pay your own way.
Oh.
Yeah, it's... And I know I'm getting the details wrong, but it's shady garbage like that. To where this kid could have gone... He could have gone to Auburn instead of Alabama. He chose Alabama, then sends the national letter of intent in, and then he goes, well, here's the case. So you take a gray shirt... You pay your own way, you come through, and then we'll give you a scholarship if there's one available.
Oof.
So, yeah. It's stuff like that, man.
Not cool, man. Not cool at all.
No, I don't understand how that's allowed.
No. The shady is kind of understated at that point.
Yeah. And again, I don't know if that's still going on or not. I'd have to look that up. That was just one of them.
Oh, yeah. And if Saban's doing it, I'm going to guarantee that pretty much any big program is at least in that neighborhood. Or have done it once.
Yeah, I just think it's sad.
Yeah.
And then some kids, just coaches constantly bothering them. I don't need to be texted or called or whatever else. I don't need to talk to my family, all this sort of stuff. Because that happens too. So, it's just all a mess. And that's why I don't mind the kids. Kids getting the power as long as the kids are the ones making the decisions and not a parent.
Uh-oh.
Not manipulating a kid, but...
Right.
Telling the kid, this is what you should do. So... But whatever.
We mentioned it before we hit record, but neither of us watched a lot of wrestling this past week.
No.
Yeah, being on the road will do that for you. And no one wanting to watch wrestling also do that for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's not... I saw some cool stuff that happened. Kyle O'Reilly's showing up. That was pretty sweet. kind of, a given, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see that at all. Because I did not watch I did not watch Dynamite from this past week, I don't think. I ended up watching some highlights... I mean, I just had to laugh when I saw that Cody Rhodes won the TNT Championship again.
Yeah, I have not watched that, but I'm very curious. I'm actually going to try and catch up tomorrow during the day if I'm not too busy. I've been off all last week. I've been off this week, and it just seems like I've been working anyways. Between having stuff to do and whatever else, just goddamn, dude. I'm going to need another week off, but...
I caught the YouTube version of that match. And all that I thought to myself was how uninspiring Sammy Guevara's title reign as TNT Championship was.
Did you even remember he was the TNT champion? Because he was not featured hardly at all.
I had to laugh. The article that I ended up reading after watching the highlights was and four successful title defenses, and I'm just like, oh, he was champion for 3 months and had four title defenses, and I'm just like, yeah, and like one of them was the week after he got the championship. I don't know what to say. Like, do they not like him? Was it COVID-related reasons why he wasn't on TV when he did have the championship? I got nothing.
Like, yeah, I don't.
They keep on
figure out if like that whole. Go ahead.
Oh, well, they keep on positioning Guevara as kind of like the next, one of the next big things, but then they've never really committed to him like they have with Jungle Boy is the only guy Jungle Boy, and I guess Darby Allin would be another one.
Darby for sure, Jesus.
That they've definitely gotten behind and pushed, and Guevara seems to, you know, like, he's right-hand man to Chris Jericho when they form, I can't even remember their name.
Inner Circle.
And then he's the one dissenting the whole time when they're adding MJF. But then, did he lose to MJF?
Yes. MJF has only lost a handful of matches. And I don't even think it's a handful, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his bigger problem is that he hasn't really wrestled that much. Just in general.
And, well, for MJF, the announcers actually bring that up all the time.
Oh, no, I don't mean MJF. Sammy Guevara. Oh,
Sammy?
Like, or at least, I don't feel like he wrestles a singles match that frequently.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, Sammy is one of them, but then also, that's kind of, like, knowing that I hadn't watched a lot of wrestling, I had other stuff to bring up, and this is kind of in the context of stuff I was going to mention, that, like, AEW in general, not a lot of people wrestle. Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends sure seem to be on TV and wrestling a lot, right?
Yes. But then,
there's just so many people, and no, I'm not going to talk about Dark or Elevation or whatever. But it's because a lot of people are on those shows, but they are not on TV.
Oh. You know,
like.
Yeah, like, I had to. Ortiz. I was about in tears when I was scrolling through Twitter today, and I saw something about Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss still feuding, and I'm like, oh my god, didn't they break up in like June or something like that?
Yes. I saw the same, this was like no rules, no disqualifications. I'm like, wait a minute, this is still going on? And If these shows are so important, then why don't we know more about, like, why is this still going on? When's the last time they mentioned Sonny Kiss or Joey Janela, for that matter?
Oh.
You know?
No idea. None whatsoever.
This is kind of where I was going with the AEW stuff is, man, they've got so many people. And Tony Khan has actually mentioned that he's never going to cut anybody. But there are going to be talent, wrestlers, whatever, that he doesn't renew their contracts. Which I think that's fair. I mean, sometimes that's what happens. It happens in sports all the time. Right?
Oh. Yeah.
But doesn't it seem like there's going to be a lot of contracts that are not getting renewed?
I would.
There should be.
Right. I would think that there's, like, both of them, to me, just seem like prime candidates not to have their contracts renewed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not based on their talent, but it's based on their availability. Like, and by availability, I mean, Kyle O'Reilly just shows up. There's another spot gone. there's a rumor of a certain Cleveland boy showing up at the Cleveland show in January. So there's another spot gone. So it's like, I think a lot of these people that they signed during the pandemic are going to be on the outs. I mean, look at Miro. And I'm saying he's not going to be one of the guys cut, but look at Miro. One of the best characters they have, he's barely on TV. He's just doing vignettes. No space for him.
Yeah. So that's like one where it's still kind of weird, where I feel like they could use him in the main event, but he's another guy where, yeah, they did a great job with the character. Like, he was one of those guys that he came in with an awful character. They rebooted the character in short order, and it seemed to be working, but yeah, it's just like, it's almost like, it's good that he gets on TV and gets to do some of these vignettes, but I still feel like he's, like, you need him in the ring. Even if it's just squashing someone.
Yeah. And I know, like, Chris Jericho's not available, mind you, right? But even, like, where's Hager? Chris Jericho's gone. Like, there's an overabundance of talent, and Miro can definitely be used in the ring. Jericho, I guess, is sick.
Well,
COVID? I don't know.
Jericho's one of those guys that, honestly, he could use some time off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think he's touring with Fozzy, which is why he's gone.
Yeah, like...
So, I know he's supposed to come around here soon.
I think we had talked about it before. Maybe I just talked about it with Chris, where that guy hasn't had that long of a run inside of a wrestling ring since, like... When did he leave the WWE the first time? Like, was it 03 or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like, I mean, he really hadn't had a sustain... Like, the number... Because, like, he'd been around on WWE TV for a while, and then he hopped over to AEW and was on all of their programming for the first, like, 2 years of their existence. Like, he hadn't had, like, a 4 or 5 year run, like, straight on TV in quite a while. Because, I mean, he was smart. He'd come in for a while, you know, a year or two, dip out to go do concerts with Fozzy, and then come back to Heroes Welcome. Like, so, yeah, he's one that, I guess, whatever reasons he's not around, it's fine. To me, that one's fine. Like, he probably needs some time off anyway, honestly. But yeah, Miro is kind of in that keep him rolling kind of thing. Like, they need guys in that kind of championship level, but it's just so weird where... And I mean, I don't know how many times any combination of us have talked about it, but the rankings don't really matter.
Do they even mention him anymore?
I don't know. I've got to admit, if they have, I've tuned it out. So I'll leave it at that.
But no, so yeah, but it's like, so Miro could definitely be used, but I think one of the problems with a main event scene, AEW's main event scene, there seems to be a ton of guys in the main event scene that never get a chance for the title because that title is so protected. There isn't a title match every week. There isn't a title match signed the day of the show. Or, well, you want to fight for the title today? Then fine, we'll do it. Like, no. We plan these things out.
Oh.
So it's like, I think we got so used to WWE's haphazard way of booking stuff that now that it's not happening on this show, we're like, well, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. But if you think about it, they have a lot of main eventers that just don't go for the title. I mean, Jesus Christ. Bryan Danielson. he comes in, blows through the number one contenders tournament, even though that was the last time that I think the rankings got mentioned, because people were just roasting him because Miro wasn't in there, and I think he was ranked number one at the time, or two.
Yeah.
Or Adam Page losing a match and no longer being the number one contender, even though, like, 5 other people before him got title matches. I was like, all right, whatever. But there's like a big main event pool, where in WWE, there's not. I mean, SmackDown is what? Roman's a champion, you have Brock Lesnar, and maybe Drew McIntyre on the outside. There's one other person on that show that you would even consider to be a main eventer.
Yeah, I'd have to pull up their roster. Yeah. There might be one or two other people, but SmackDown got hammered in the draft.
Yeah, but then on Raw, they've actually done a legitimate job of putting a bunch of people together. I mean, unfortunately, Seth is out right now, but, you know, what do we got? Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, who just re-signed, so you know he's going to be, like, you know, maybe kept important again.
They've done a pretty good job of with him over the last few years, honestly. Like, he hasn't been in the main event necessarily, but that guy's gotten a ton of TV time.
Yeah, but I never thought, like, especially that whole Roman thing, I never once thought he was going to win. I never once had faith. Like, not even like as a, like a fickle fan or something. But the whole story, it never once made me think he was going to win. Like, that's their failing, not ours. So, and he's also like the Big Show, where he keeps turning left and right. So, Big E's the other one. So, I can't believe I forgot. Forgot about Big E, the champion's in the match. But, so at least Raw has some people built up. And then, but still, not as many as AEW does. And how they keep mixing, like, the potential main eventers together, or keep them in feuds, and then they move on to other feuds with main eventers?
Sort of. What's CM Punk done that's, other than his fight with Darby Allin, he hasn't done anything main event worthy.
Well, isn't his name just main event worthy, though?
And that's honestly what that's what they've been hanging on, and I don't mind, to kind of go back to one of your earlier points, like, I don't mind, it's a good idea to not have Adam Page defending the belt week in and week out. Like, that's silly talk. But you also kind of, like, I don't know why I would, I guess you are just living off of the name. For him, for Bryan Danielson, like, that's all that you're doing, because they're just beating, again, outside of Darby Allin, they're beating chumps. Both of them. Like, I never thought that Allin Five Angels ever had a chance against Daniel Bryan or Evil Uno. Like, it was a good way to extend the feud, but it's a squash match.
Oh, yeah, I never want... Yeah, again, and if you want to chalk it up to, like, I don't believe this has ever happened. Yeah, that's definitely... Like, these are just... Okay, he's going to destroy all these guys. So, but even still, like, when Daniel Bryan left SmackDown and came to AEW as Bryan Danielson, he was still a main eventer. Like,
oh, yeah.
And they've treated him as such all the way to, like, just running through people.
Yeah. I guess that, okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking, is that the WWE has a tendency, and maybe it's a bit of a problem now that we're talking about it, that they kind of have the guys that are near the main event stage fighting each other constantly, and that's not something that AEW does that much. Like, you don't see a Miro versus Daniel Bryan or CM Punk that often.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have seen Danielson and Miro, and it was great.
Oh.
But then, I mean, yeah. But we're not getting it the next week. We're not getting it another month or two from now. It's like, okay. Like, all right, so... To what I always used to complain about with AEW is they always said it was supposed to be a sports feel, right?
Yeah.
Well, this aspect of it to me is kind of a sports feel. Like, UFC does do rematches, right? I get it. But sometimes they don't. You lose, peace out. You don't get another chance. Even if it was close. And that's kind of something that AEW's done. I mean, we can complain that FTR has never gotten a rematch or never got a rematch with the Young Bucks for the tag titles. But then if you follow like the old UFC guidelines, if you want, they weren't going to get one.
The only thing that I can think of, which is popping to the top of my head, is the WWE, what they do, because it wasn't that long ago that they did the no automatic rematch clause anymore. But then they just have the people jump through hoops to get their rematch anyway. And it's like, what's the purpose?
No automatic rematches, and we got 4 months of Drew and Randy Orton.
Yeah, because Randy Orton keeps on, like, punt kicking him or something. You know, like, there's always some way that they extend it, but it's just like, that's dumb to come up with Rule A if it's just going to be worked around pretty much 100% of the time.
We can't talk logic with that company anyways. It was funny, I was texting Eric. He went to a house show, and he said the house show was fun. Like, the wrestlers were there to have a good time. They were, just looked happy, and he said it was actually fun. And my first response back was, why did you go to a house show? And I guess his friend's, like, kid wanted to go. So, okay. But he's like, yeah, it was good. But then Eric even said, WWE isn't wrestling anymore. WWE's turned into whatever version of sports entertainment Vince has always been trying to get across. So this is like, he's actually turned WWE into sports entertainment instead of like a wrestling show. And that's kind of stuck with me ever since he said that. And I'm like, did that happen during the lockdown when they didn't have anybody there and they were doing, you know, the Fiend stuff? And whatever backstage stuff, like, did he realize now he can just control everything? And because, I mean, winning and losing doesn't matter.
Well,
people talking like normal human beings doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter in AEW either, so.
Well, at least in AEW.
If you're going to say that your rankings matter and then they don't matter at all, like you just said about 5 minutes ago, like, winning and losing doesn't really matter there. They can say it out loud, but whatever. Like, it doesn't.
Well, but I think in the context of that, though, is Daniel. God damn it. Bryan Danielson isn't winning 1 week, losing the next week. Winning this week, losing the next week. He's consistently winning, so that when he does lose, it'll matter. The rankings thing, I mean, that's absolute trash. That doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, like, a team that was seven. Like, who was it? What's Griff Garrison and...
Varsity Club?
They were, like, the number two ranked team. Because they were 10-2. And I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, those Dark Elevation matches stack up in a hurry.
Yes, they do. When you're fighting Rajesham Shmati from Poughkeepsie, Tennessee or something. But like stuff like that. But no, it's like even Big E, look how many times he's won. I think they said 4 matches since he's been champion. 4.
Oh.
That's your champion.
Well,
I mean, and now Roman's the exact opposite, mind you.
Which,
I
mean, there was something that, I don't know if it was on SmackDown this week. Or if it was Raw, where I'm like, it was Raw, where I couldn't believe that both Riddle and Randy Orton won their matches.
Yeah, I think it was this week, which I thought was kind of clever, but like Randy Orton finally hit the RKO on Otis because you know he's got the tiny neck on him.
Yeah,
like, that's one where it's nice that the champions didn't just lose constantly, but I also don't understand why that didn't at least lead to a pay-per-view match at some point. Like, they had an extended feud. Like, why... having the champions win both of those matches just goes, okay, they suck. You know, like, an Alpha Academy has done nothing. Like, I've enjoyed it, and I kind of have been on board a little bit with the Otis reimagining here. But they need to win. And all they've done is lose.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's like another thing. They just don't get behind people, too. Like...
oh.
Otis was red hot, I guess. He was like the big thing. One wins Money in the Bank and then loses it in a court case with... and then... has to fight for it, and then Tucker, you know, causes him to lose, and then Tucker gets cut. Wasn't it like 2 weeks later or something ridiculous like that?
It was not that far. Yeah, it was something in that area of,
So it's like, holy shit, they didn't, I mean, you went all through all this stuff, Mandy Rose and Otis, oh, he's Money in the Bank, Mandy Rose and Otis. Oh, Otis is a bad guy now. Why? Because he is. And he shaved his head and cut his beard off. Like, who thought this was a good idea? You actually had, like, a unique character. A little goofy, the crowd seemed to like, but, you know, it's kind of hard when there's no crowd.
Oh, but, right.
But yeah, so...
yeah, the WWE gives up at weird times with their gimmicks sometimes. Because there are other times, like this week was one where I'm going, why is Nikki A.S.H. still a character? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't get it. Like, at some point, like, okay, I get it. Heels are going to be heels, and they're going to pick on characters. Understood. But when you have someone on a losing streak act like a loser... and then have her tag team partner winning all the time. You just pull the plug, guys. Like, in that case, I understand, you know, having a giant shift like Otis did. And that's why I guess I said, like, I've slowly gotten on board with the Otis thing. I didn't understand it at first. And probably wasn't really necessary at that time, quite honestly. But, you know, I feel like they've done a good job recovering it. But then there are other times like this one where it's just like, why aren't you pulling the plug? Like, you keep on telling us how terrible this character is. Like, it's been like a couple of months now of you just continually telling us that this character is awful. And it's just like, then get it off TV. Like, it's not that you guys are writing it. You guys are putting these people on TV. Like, get it the fuck off if you think it's that bad.
Well, I think she's a big favorite of McMahon, though, of Vince. That's why.
You could fool me.
I know. But... you know, I guess because she went out of her way, created this brand new character, and did all the stuff herself, and showed the gumption that he's always talking about, and then he's just like, "Oh, this is great." So you're gonna lose every week, but it's great. Like,
well, and then that's another one that's just kind of weird too, where I feel like we've heard about that a lot over the years, but then like everyone that has left recently is like, oh, I had all these ideas, and I went and talked to Vince, and they all got shot down. And it's just like, it doesn't seem like there are that many people that were like, oh, yeah, I just fucking sat on my hands and didn't say anything to Vince and just had all these ideas just stockpiling in my head. It's my fault that I got canned because I didn't come up with any ideas. They could be lying when they come out and say that they presented these ideas to Vince and or the writing staff. But why wouldn't you try to get yourself on TV, you know? Like, yeah. Everyone has known how this system has worked since, I don't know, when did the first autobiography come out that said you needed to talk to Vince, you know what I mean? Like, Mick Foley's autobiography? Yeah, where
Mick Foley's is the first one I really remember.
And I feel like even in it, you know, in it, he's just like, hey, you gotta, you know, work with Vince and, you know, come up with creative ideas and this, that. So, like, if you don't know that that's what you need to do as a wrestler in the WWE at this point, you know, like 20 years later or something like that, if not more, from when the time that book came out, it's just like, well, then you're not doing a good job. So I guess I have a tendency to believe these wrestlers. So it's just like, I guess why did this Nikki A.S.H. character hit him in the feels that way? Like, it was kind of fun, but that's my other problem with it is, where does this, like, if you don't have that character grow into a full superhero at some point, there's no way to grow it. And that's what she needs to do. No, like,
yeah.
And I guess I don't even feel like, especially with the way they're presenting her, like, I don't feel like that breakthrough win is coming for her. Like, and she desperately needs it.
Yeah, unless this is, like, a way to turn her to the dark side, and she's no longer, now she, I mean, I'm always craving for a crazy Nikki to come back, because that character was great.
Yeah.
Unless this is how they can get her back, but I have no faith that's going to happen. So, and it's like, yeah, but it's like, if your partner's constantly winning stuff and telling you you're not a loser, but you keep losing, like, after a while, this just seemingly seems like she's going to turn on Rhea Ripley, which it almost seems like the role should be reversed.
Oh.
That Rhea should turn on her for her losing. I mean, let's be honest.
Yes. Versus,
you know, I like Rhea Ripley. She doesn't look like a babyface. I mean, maybe it's like growing up in the 80s and seeing, like, all these cyberpunk movies or whatever else. She looks like she should be the bad guy. Not poor little Nikki A.S.H., you know? Nikki A.S.H.
Yeah, I'm with you. Where the roles do seem like, well, A, I don't want Rhea Ripley on another losing streak. She lost to Charlotte enough.
Yeah, but, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, she should be the heel in that breakup situation. But they are definitely positioning Nikki to be that heel. And I guess it could work. But I don't, you know, Rhea's just she worked better in NXT, at least as a slight heel, or at least leaning heelish. So I don't quite get keeping her babyface. Plus, she's another one where I still don't know what her character is. Like, Carmella gave her more of a character this week, calling her the hot gothic Viking woman or whatever, than the WWE has given her as a character.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And that is not very much, honestly. You know, like that.
Yeah. No, you're right. What I think needs to happen is something's going to be happening again. There's going to be more cuts. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Because look at NXT and the people that are down there that are going to come up. There's no way Dakota Kai's not coming up unless her contract's running out. Like, her and Raquel just tore the house down again.
Oh.
So, she has to come up. Raquel's not beating Mandy Rose. She's got to be on the way up.
There's no reason
to keep her down there. And they both should go to Raw, even though they should probably be kept away from each other, but we'll see if that even happens. But
the WWE loves long-standing feuds that last forever.
Yeah.
Good
gravy. Yeah, but it's like that sort of stuff, and it just seems like the women in NXT like Raquel and Dakota don't fit anymore. So time to go. Like Raquel's young.
Dakota's well, awesome. And Io Shirai is in the same boat. Where it's just like, what's she doing down there?
Dude, it's almost to the point where sometimes she shows up and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about her. That's bad.
Yes, it is.
I mean, they keep concentrating on everybody else. You're like, Io Shirai shows up. Oh my God, that's right. One of the best women's wrestlers in the world. You're not doing anything with her. Because we have to get all these other people in.
Oh my gosh, and that kind of reminded me too. I was about in tears this past week because I was watching, I don't know if I YouTube, yeah, I YouTubed NXT there. And I laughed that they had subtitles up for, what's their names from Imperium? Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel. And I'm like,
yeah.
So you guys can do this for these two, but you can't do it for the Japanese wrestlers or the Spanish wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they're not usually Spanish. They're usually Mexican or some other South American country. But Spanish-speaking, I guess, would probably be the better way to term it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like... I like them speaking their native language, and I've mentioned it before. Like, I feel like you get more of an expression out of whomever it is, whether it's Io, Asuka, even Andrade was a guy that you could get the feeling of the promo if he was speaking Spanish. And it's just like, let him roll that way, like, and just do subtitles. It's not that hard. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, and I'm trying to think of why that tag team's... Oh, Raquel... it would all went back to Io Shirai, I guess. You know, I do think that Io speaks better English than Asuka does. I think. It's just like, yeah, I guess I'm mystified as to why she's not in the main roster already. Unless it's been an injury thing that they haven't really let out of the bag. But she's wrestled enough where I don't think it's an injury. You know? And she, and I guess another...
I was on mute the whole time.
Jesus Christ. Another woman that I guess I was just thinking of that just hasn't gotten any use, but they could probably use, although maybe she does have an excuse as to why she's not on TV, but Alexa Bliss, you know, she loses the gimmick to Charlotte, and it's just like, okay, I mean, I guess maybe they're waiting for the Royal Rumble to reboot her?
That's the time off. So, who knows?
Oh, okay.
Who knows what the...
Was yeah, not aware of that.
But what I would say about Io Shirai is, I don't think she's coming up to the main roster. I think her contract expires and she goes somewhere else. I really don't think she's coming up.
Well, that...
Why wouldn't she be up already?
That could be a very valid answer. Because, yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. There is no reason for her not to be on the main roster at this juncture. Like, and they are desperately in need of women up there.
Yeah. So this, I guess, another defense of the point for Io Shirai. They brought up Xia Li and not Io Shirai. As much as I like Xia Li's gimmick,
yeah.
How could you skip over Io Shirai?
No idea.
Makes no sense. Yeah. Unless there's something we don't know and she doesn't want to go up. She's a coach or something. I don't know. It makes no sense. I mean, so I really do think she's just going to expire and go, which sucks. So, It's just amazing to me how dumb this stuff goes. But and yeah, it's like well. even her, I think it's just go back to Japan sort of thing. I don't think it'll be an AEW thing at all. Kind of like Kyrie saying, she's like, alright, I just want to go back to Japan, so I'm going to retire. Oh, my contract's up? Hey, I'm going to be taking bookings again. So.
She's a WWE ambassador still, though, isn't she?
I do not believe so. I think she's done. Because she is opened up for a few spots, I think, next year.
Oh, okay. Maybe she let that go then.
I'm not sure for who.
Yeah, last I knew she'd at least signed an ambassador style deal with him.
Yeah.
But I also do
like, you know,
a trash job of keeping
track.
So that
she stays on a contract. So, I don't know. But, no, WWE, I know it started with AEW, but it's like WWE is such a weird land now. You're always waiting for somebody to get released. They've got weird talent paired up with people. Just weird stuff. People disappear. Where the hell is Elias? I know he's not a huge name, but dude, he was. Like, I think we've talked about this. He was somebody.
Oh.
And now, nowhere. Like, okay.
Yeah, he was part of the mid-card that was not very thick to start with. And he got taken out. Rebooted, and then they axed the reboot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah, because he burned his guitar and all that stuff.
Yep.
And nothing. So now he just sits in catering. Oh, yeah, but real quick, I'm sorry. I only mentioned because I was trying to get back to the original point. I forgot.
Oh.
When you were talking about subtitles, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned, like, they gave Imperium, and then two guys who speak English as well.
Oh.
Like, very good. Like,
quite well.
I don't want to say very good, but very clear, concise, easily understandable English, all right?
Whatever. Yeah.
Then you get fucking Jacket Time. Who, don't they seem like, they seem like stereotypes when they're speaking English. Because it's so jilted and, like, it's not their language. So it's like, we are coming for revenge. And you're like, wait a minute, I saw this in the 80s, right? Like, Japanese people don't speak like this when they speak English. And then all of a sudden, they start speaking Japanese, and you're like, oh, these guys can cut a promo. Like, what the fuck is going on? Put the subtitles under them, and let's go. I mean, I totally agree with you. Enough of this bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
either
that Jacket Time thing's embarrassing to me. Like, that poor guy, they make him seem like a fucking dunce. And then Kushida's just sitting there going, man, I had nowhere else to go in New Japan, so that's why I'm here. Like, this is what I'm saddled with? Like, this dumb shit?
Yeah, he's sitting there going, oh, I thought I was going to have this 205 Live thing locked up, but never mind.
Yeah, it's going away soon. So, but yeah, man, the subtitle thing, I think we talked about this for a couple of years, actually.
Yeah.
Just use them. Especially during the lockdown, everyone's watching on TV anyways. So put the goddamn subtitles up.
Yeah, you know what
help your talent out.
Yeah, and you know what I guess one of the big complaints about the WWE has been the fact that they have, you know, basically scripted promos. So it's like, it's not like they're going to be saying, if they say something different in their native language, only people that speak that native language are going to know. So just put the subtitles down there, guys. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. I mean, we get people typing for the deaf all the time within a TV show. Like, if you just turn on the, you know, the little remote thing, you can get that to pop up. Like, we know it's possible to do it in live time. So, they don't really have much of an excuse not to do it.
Well, I guess for the live audience, I suppose. But even then, you've got, you know, video screens, whatever else. But still, I mean, that would be the excuse. I guarantee you that'd be the excuse.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's 2021, it's going to be 22 soon. And we're still, like, debating whether or not, you know, a foreign wrestler should speak in their own native language and put subtitles up, or force them to learn English because this country won't get behind them. Like, enough. Like, it's a poor example because I personally don't like her as a wrestler, obviously, is Rio. She can't talk for shit. And that crowd is going crazy about her still, which makes no sense to me.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So
presentation matters.
Yeah. And just nothing. But, yeah. And then, I don't know how long we've been going, but
a little over an hour.
What is with Grayson? All right, what is with this obsession with Grayson Waller? Is he that good that they're doing this, or is he just okay and they're trying to push him to be that good?
I have no idea. Like, it's... Yeah, he's one of those guys that I'm like, okay, I guess maybe I can see where what they think, but... I know that you and I have discussed it, like, outside of Bron Breakker, like, none of those guys, like, none of the new guys in NXT scream, like, instant star to me. And Grayson Waller's kind of on that category, where it's possible down the line he can be that, but it's just, like, I literally don't know who you are. And I'm supposed to take you seriously against AJ Styles, who, despite obviously being in a tag team with Omos for the last, you know, 6 months or so, the guy was winning high-profile matches before that. It's not like he's been trash for several years at this point. 'Cause what? He got to wrestle... There had to have been something after the graveyard match at WrestleMania.
I'm sure there was, but that seems like so long ago now. It was 2 years ago, almost.
Yeah, it's almost 2 years now. Because that's how I'm going, oh my god, has it been close to 2 years that he's had a big, big match? Yeah, I want to say that his fight with Lesnar was prior to that.
Yeah, that was Survivor Series, I believe. I think his was Survivor Series that year.
Oh, so that would have been after then WrestleMania, if it was the same year.
No, it would have been before. No, it would have been before.
Oh, it would have been the year prior, okay.
Yeah, because there was a crowd for Survivor Series when they wrestled.
Oh. If I remember right. Yeah, I'm coming up with a blank as far as what AJ Styles' last big singles match was. But, I mean, again, if nothing else, that guy has been in a relevant feud the entire time that he has not had a championship. Like, they have definitely given... He has chewed up a lot of scenery in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess it's cool that him and AJ Styles are going at it, but it's one where I'm like, if Waller beats him, I don't know how seriously I can take it, and if AJ Styles still wins, like, I don't know, maybe he can pull off that. You know, the go-to comparison, I guess, in this situation, the John Cena-Kurt Angle thing.
Yeah. Well, okay, there's a couple problems. That's two of them. if he loses AJ Styles, it could be like, well, nice try, or he can, like, his character, he can always flip and go, you know what, I got more views, I got more eyes on me, I got more of this. It's bigger than about winning a match, so he can get out of it that way.
Oh, yeah.
But if he beats AJ Styles, one, no one's going to take it seriously. They'll be like, okay. They're just pulling, they're just pushing these NXT 2.0 guys. Cool, we get it, they're great. And then, but then, my other problem with this is, they wanted NXT 2.0 to be a developmental again. Why the hell is he on Raw? If it's a developmental again, like trying to go back to the way it was, right? They have guys, and then once they get to the main roster, they can cultivate them. Why is he on Raw? Like,
that,
if you're going to start mixing NXT guys and main roster guys, then why wasn't, like, and I know he's gone now, but why wasn't one Adam Cole? Why weren't we doing this ahead of time?
Oh.
Why hasn't Ciampa shown up?
I'm just going to throw it out there that it might be due to the fact that a lot of bodies were not at Raw this week.
That was the big...
Because I guess I found it weird. Like, I guess I didn't think that Grayson Waller had done enough to warrant AJ Styles' attention last week. Like, when I came back, when I saw the headline on my phone pop up, AJ Styles answers Grayson Waller's call or something like that, I'm like, did I miss a week of NXT that did I completely put this out of my mind that he offered some, you know, bounty for himself or something? So, like, I guess I didn't understand why AJ Styles was there in the first place, but you've got to have something in mind, I guess, for Waller to show up on Raw. And I think that he probably got a little more TV time than maybe they were envisioning at first because of all the people out. I mean, it was kind of weird to see both Big E and Seth Rollins cutting promos from their house.
Yeah. Now, Seth is no longer in part of Day One. So, you know, they're going to have to figure that one out. But, yeah,
you still have three people confused in that match. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out.
Well, no, but who are we talking about here? So
they probably will overthink it and need to add someone else. Because, it was going to be a four-way dance before. We've got to keep it a four-way dance. Grayson Waller gets added.
Oh, good God. Yeah, part of me is like, I don't put it past them. But that would be stupid. So,
I mean,
that would be really dumb.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, no, I'm just, this just kind of started me like, well, wait a minute. What the hell is going on with NXT all of a sudden? Like, why are these guys allowed to show up? But, I guess when your system of assigning things is arbitrary at best anyways, you know, that's just what happens, so whatever.
I didn't even think about that part. AJ Styles has been a heel with Omos for how many months now? And now we're supposed to get behind him because Grayson Waller?
Yeah. Well, no, because of stuff.
Because of stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Sure, guys.
Just go with it, man. Just stuff. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, AJ's like getting mad at Amos, whatever. And Amos just goes, I'm tired of you. And I'm supposed to go, well, this, like, pesky motherfucker that you've been telling me to boo for ages, is finally getting his comeuppance from his old partner, and I'm supposed to be mad about this? Like, something's not computing here. So,
yeah, if anything, well, and again, does not help the Grayson Waller-AJ Styles dynamic. AJ Styles is the heel who was keeping Omos down.
Yes. Like,
not that Grayson Waller should be challenging Omos, because that would just be a complete slaughter.
Kind of fun. I guess they both have, they have plans for AJ and Omos, which is why they're breaking him up now before Rumble and WrestleMania and all that. I don't see what he can do yet. He's better than I thought he'd be, but he doesn't look like a guy that's ready either. But
they've given him
maybe he'll surprise like Strowman did.
Yeah, they've given him so little that it's hard to know. You know, he's been in matches. I can't think of anything where I'm like, oh my god, he's such a mess. But he's also barely been in matches. Like, they're like 3-minute matches when he's in them.
True. I mean, they've really kind of protected him when he's out there, too. So you're not going to get, you know, they're not going to throw him out there so that he can mess up, you know?
I mean, it's smart to put your talent out there and to kind of maximize the positives. But it doesn't give you a lot of faith that he's going to go in there and have a banger against AJ Styles.
Well, I mean, I think we both know if anybody can, it's him.
Yes.
So, you know, but also maybe that's why they're doing this, you know? So they can like have one of these matches or whatever. So, but I don't know, man. It's a weird time for that company. It's really weird because, like, I know most like shows do like a year-end review thing.
Oh.
And like my year-end review for wrestling this year is, I turned the corner on AEW, and like almost totally turned my back on WWE though. Like, just for me as a fan watching, there is so little I'm interested in with that show now, and it's weird because, like, you know, Monday Night Raw, I mean, going all the way back to school, man, when we were in school, that was the shit. And we get together Mondays, whatever, call each other, all this stuff. And now, we barely even talk about it on the show we do.
I mean, it's been a bad, like, at least for the WWE, it's not been a good year. In as much as AEW hasn't really turned me off, there isn't anything where I'm going, oh, yeah, man, I'm just, you know, like, it's just so, there have been some things that I like, in almost each and every week, there's something I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed that. Even on Raw, which has been terrible for at least 11 out of the 12 months of the year. But also, like, yeah, I'm not, like, super invested currently. Like, it's not been that good of a year in wrestling for me, just in general. Because, yeah, like, I guess Daniel Bryan having new opponents is kind of fun. But at some point, you know, how many banger matches can you have? He's had pretty much a banger with everyone that he's wrestled, but it's also kind of like, okay, great, he's having another great match.
I like that attitude, though. Well, yeah, great, he's having another great match. Like, you know, well, after all the bad ones we've seen, you know, like, not bad, but all the subpar we've seen, yeah, I'll take that all the time, you know?
Yeah, but I guess I still want to see him feuding with someone not Evil Uno, you know?
Well, yeah, but then when he's had a chance, the opportunity to feud with somebody, not feud, but have a match with somebody bigger, or like a bigger name, they've been really good. So, like, I don't know. You seem like down on Bryan Danielson for some reason.
Where I'm the
exact opposite. Like, he's been... AEW always does this. Where they make, like, lesser guys into something. You know what I mean? Like, Evil Uno, he should have ran right through. But for some reason, they were like, no. You know, we complained about this before.
Oh, yeah. Where it was a little too much of a banger of a match.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And maybe that's where my problem lies with the Bryan Danielson, is that, they've almost been too competitive with some of these guys. Like, as much as I've enjoyed the matches, like, they've still been too competitive in a way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, shit, that's an AEW staple, though. Like, remember Kenny Omega was fighting number 5, I think, back when he was like Alan, well, now he's back to it, but...
Yeah.
When he was under a mask, before he was under the mask in that, and everyone was like, what is this crap? And like, well, we're just trying to help build up other people, whatever else. Like, no. You're the man here. Like, you don't do that with a bunch of nobodies. So...
Yeah,
you know, it was always like stuff like that. But.
And I guess the other funny thing, like you mentioned me being down on him, like his promos have been great too. Like, there's not a whole lot to complain about, but maybe it does go back to, and it's something that's been something of a topic the whole year for us. There's so much wrestling. That maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, even with Ring of Honor going on hiatus, whatever, there's still plenty out there. I mean, Impact, which I'm behind on, which sucks because I've actually kind of started to enjoy that show. I'm just behind.
Yeah.
You know, AEW's racking up stuff, and it's like, okay, I don't have that much time because I have other stuff. I mean, literally on vacation, and I still can't get to all the stuff. So, like, there's an issue there of too much content.
Yeah.
But.
And maybe that's more my problem, is that... The level of content is just insane at this point. You know, for everyone. And it's just like, okay, like... Yeah, we just did closing in on an hour and a half, mostly about wrestling. And we barely watched anything this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we can still talk about everything that's happened this week and through the year. Maybe that's the problem. There's just been a gorging of wrestling. Like, it was fun for a while, but now it's just... It's tough. Like, AIW is one for me where I kind of enjoyed hopping into the indies for a while, but, you know, I'm kind of with you. Like, I haven't been able to find the spare time.
Yeah.
Like, even burn through shows, watching them on a DVR or something, like, after watching, 3, 5, 7, 8 hours of wrestling on regular TV, it's like, okay, I'm kind of tapped here, guys. Like, I've watched 8 hours of professional wrestling this week.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just wrestling. Like, I just finished Hawkeye on Disney.
Yeah.
Thank God that was only 6 episodes. But I haven't gotten to The Witcher 2 yet. Witcher Season 2. The new Narcos is out. I haven't watched any of those yet. Like, the stuff I actually enjoy, I'm not able to get to. And then now I've got wrestling, which I in certain aspects, I enjoy some of it still. I'm not going to be one of those. But it's like, okay, I can't get the stuff I absolutely and utterly enjoy and want to watch. How the hell are you expecting me to watch this stuff, watch a bunch of stuff that I just kind of went, eh? And I'm speaking in this case specifically WWE. You know, like
they have
two 205 live pay per view, like all that stuff, and just too much. But
yeah, and I did have to laugh. Speaking of too much wrestling. The wife was watching a little bit of Raw this week before going to bed. She's like, who thought it was a good idea to have a pay-per-view on January 1st?
Dude. Yeah, she's right. But it's like, whose bright idea is it to have a college football playoff at 3:30 and 7:30 on New Year's Eve? Now, I understand I haven't had to care about this before, but this is idiotic. So, yeah, so having stuff on New Year's Day, if it's not a bowl game where you just sit around, whatever, but that, like, they're expecting people to show up in attendance for that thing. But then I just couldn't believe that the bowl games, the college football playoff bowl games weren't, like, at noon, 1, whatever, and 4.
Oh, so, no, that's...
Yeah,
I guess that's been the case. Obviously, with the
terrible.
With Ohio State, I've been kept in the loop for the most part, seeing as though I have a bunch of interested parties around me.
That's truly awful.
Also, I guess I'd still rather watch football than... Dick Clark's rocking New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest. Like I have no idea who those performers are. Like I don't want to watch that. You know, I'll watch it for the ball drop or whatever. But there's nothing else on New Year's Eve for me to watch. Like I guess I'd rather watch I'd rather watch football than. Pretty much anything.
Yeah. Well, what I was getting at was, like, and where I was going with it, is, like, I've never been invited out to so many different things on New Year's Eve in my life. And the one year that I'm like, no, just having to shoot down all these plans, because I'm like, I'm not going to your house to watch the game. I'm not going to your place to watch this, because you don't want me there. Believe me. I know how this works.
You don't need to tell me that.
Somewhere else. Yeah, I'm not going to talk to anybody else. I'm not going to be happy if someone tries like saying something snide. I'm just going to watch it at my own house in peace, so I can just yell and do whatever I want on my own time and whatever else. And it's like, you know what? If I don't drink, then fine. I don't drink. So whatever, you know. There's that part of me obviously hopes that Michigan just kind of, you know, does their thing the first half like they usually do, and then can wear down and score some on Georgia's defense, while hopefully keeping Georgia's offense in check, and just do the slow pull away like they've done most of the season. But I don't know.
Are they the late game?
But it's just like they're the 7:30 game.
Oh, nice.
Because one, because no one cares about Alabama and Cincinnati. Sorry, Cincinnati fans, no one cares. So that's why they put Georgia and Michigan on when they did.
Yeah.
Because they know they'll actually get an actual audience for the game. So
and it should be a competitive matchup.
Should. This doesn't honestly seem like one of the old Michigan teams that would just collapse like that. So now hopefully I'm not biting my, you know, swallowing my words after this, but I mean, we'll see. I do have high hopes for this. So, and I stupidly have already talked to my dad. Like, if Michigan gets by Georgia, do you want to go up to Indy? So,
oh,
Because with his health problems, he ain't getting any younger. So it's like, gotta take advantage of this. So.
Okie doke. Well, you mentioned the magic word, and since we got back to football after starting with football, I think we can wrap this probably last Stunt Granny audio 718 of the year. Belt Time Beer. I was given Market Garden Brewery's Festivus Holiday Ale, 7.5% ABV. I do not see an IBU mark on here. Market Garden, one of the sneaky small breweries up in the land that does put out some quality beers that I do not get beer from probably often enough. And this is a nice light. Well, I shouldn't say light because it's 7.5% alcohol, but it is not heavy on the hop. It's also not too spicy, which I really have a problem with a lot of holiday ales. So this one would be a highly recommend for me if you do like that spice in your beer and plenty o malt. Anything on your end to talk about, Mr. Mays, before we get on out of here?
No, well. No, I was at lower left when you said you were getting ready, so they're 5 minutes from here. But I was having the Pencil Thin Mustache, which is a lime sour, and it's really good.
Ooh.
So, oh, it's smooth too. I mean, it's not bitter. It just tastes really good. And they're sneaky though. They're 6.8. So you're like, oh, this is you know, it tastes not like juice, obviously, but it just has that flavor. And all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I messed up again. So, but yeah, so that's what I was doing, and didn't really have anything else, like, anything of merit over Christmas. Yeah, nothing to speak of.
Okie doke. So. Well, I now have a beer fridge in the basement here in the recording studio for Stunt Granny, so I will not have any problems picking beers from now moving forward, which will be nice because occasionally I forgot to put beers in the fridge before these shows, and it got a little bit dicey. So that is your hashtag Belltime Beer of the show, and I am at Frango11. That is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us anywhere that you would like, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.